Hello and welcome. Welcome everyone to this live telephone town hall meeting. I see we have some folks with us on the line right now. Thank you so much for joining us here early. Please stay on the line as we connect to more and more of your neighbors in the city of Anna. So if you're just answering the phone now, hello, good evening, and welcome to this live telephone town hall meeting. Standing by, we have City of Anna Public Works Director Greg Peters, who will be providing everyone on tonight's call with important information and answering your questions. So with that being said, we want to hear from you, so we encourage you to participate by asking questions. And the way to get your question in line is by pressing 0 on the keypad on your phone. Again, that's pressing 0 to submit your question. We will be taking your questions live tonight. However, if you would prefer me, the moderator, to read your question over the air, I will be more than happy to do so. Simply let your operator know that that is what you prefer. So either way tonight, press 0 to submit those. We're also looking to expand our email list. You can press 7 to provide one of our operators with your email to stay as up to date as possible moving forward. The City of Anna is also interested in your feedback. Throughout the call tonight, we ask for your participation in a few polling questions. When the time comes to vote in those polls, simply use the numbers on the keypad on your phone to vote. I'll also encourage you to grab a piece of paper and something to write with to jot down anything that's important to you. I'm going to continue to connect to more and more of your neighbors in the City of Anna. Your City Public Works Director, Greg Peters. And we encourage you to ask, so please don't hesitate to press 0 now or at any time throughout our call tonight. We will be taking your questions live after you speak with one of our operators, but if you would rather not go live, simply let your operator know and I will read that question over the air for you. So again, either way, press 0 to ask your question. Lastly, press 7 to join the city's email list for any future updates. A quick announcement here before we do officially get started. You are invited to our fall season kickoff event, Harvest Fest, this Saturday, October 2nd. This special event is a family favorite, offering a robust vendor fair, food and drinks, entertainment, children's activities, and fun. For more information, you can visit www.annatexas.gov/harvestfest. So again, for more information, go ahead and visit www.annatexas.gov/harvestfest. So without further ado, I'd like to officially get this call started off by turning it over to Anna Public Works Director Greg Peters. Greg, please take it away.
Thank you, Taylor. Like Taylor mentioned, I'm Greg Peters, the Director of Public Works for the City of Anna. And first of all, I just want to welcome all Anna neighbors and thank you for joining us tonight. We know that your time is valuable, so we're going to keep this town hall short and focused on some key information which matters most to you. As you all know, the City of Anna is exploding with growth, including a mix of brand new single-family homes and commercial development. It's an exciting time to be part of our community. Over the past year, we have had nearly 1,200 new homes built. Our city council and staff are focused on 4 key goals as described in our council's strategic plan, which include 1, growing the Anna economy, 2, sustainable Anna community through planned and managed growth, 3, Anna, a great place to live, and 4, high-performing professional city. One key factor to being a high-performing professional city is having a high-functioning public utility system. This has been a focus area for the City Council as they have directed the city to initiate several major infrastructure projects, including a major expansion to our Collin Water Pump Station and the installation of large generators to ensure 24/7 power at our critical water facilities. The Collin Pump Station expansion project includes the construction of 2 new water wells, new pumps and motors, and on-site generators, which will increase our peak water production level by almost 20%. The pumps and equipment have been ordered, and the contractor will begin construction as soon as the equipment arrives, We expect that to be just after the first of the year. As all of you know, the winter storm event in February was a difficult time for all who call Anna home. The city lost power to all of our critical facilities for multiple days. It was the first time in our history as a city where electrical providers were unable to restore and maintain power to our water pump stations and city facilities within the same day of a blackout occurring. Like many systems across the state, Anna's public water system lost pressure and our neighbors lost access to public drinking water. The city responded swiftly with action, including a daily water distribution program at our public works building and partnering with community leaders to provide bottled water at special events held at both Anna High School and in parking lots of some of our major commercial sites. City staff also delivered water to those unable to get to our facility and provided bulk deliveries to critical locations in the community. The water distribution program here was so successful that we actually became a regional distribution point for neighboring communities as well, and were able to send surplus water to places as far away from us as Commerce. Following the conclusion of this difficult event, our City Council wanted to make sure that history would not repeat itself. The city's Community Investment Program, or CIP for short, had identified the purchase of generators for all critical facilities over a five-year period in the future. However, the council made the decision to move up the purchase of these generators to this year. The generators were ordered in the spring and are set to be delivered in the next few weeks. This strong response is resulting in three large generators being installed in the city before our next winter season approaches, with automatic transfer switches, which will ensure that we have critical electricity at our water pump stations and uninterrupted power 24/7. I would now like to switch gears and talk about the financial side of a public utility system. One of the major components of having a high-performing professional city is having a sustainable utility fund which covers the cost of service. While Anna has a network of water wells, we also purchase more than half of our drinking water from the North Texas Municipal Water District. While the city also has a small wastewater treatment plant, we also contract with North Texas Municipal Water District and the City of Melissa to transport and treat the majority of our sewage. For purchased water, Anna partners with the cities of Melissa, Van Alstine, and Howe as members of the Colin Grayson Municipal Alliance, which collectively purchases drinking water from the Water District and pumps it north from McKinney. As a collective of customer cities, the CGMA, as we call the alliance, pays a higher rate than the member cities of North Texas Municipal Water District. We also have additional costs, including the pumping system, ground storage tanks in McKinney and Howe, miles of large diameter pipeline running all the way up through the corridor, and funding the management of the system by the Greater Texoma Utility Authority. The cost of drinking water and sewer treatment is not cheap, and it continues to increase annually. North Texas Municipal Water District is planning on annual rate increases of 5-10% per year every year over the next decade. The unfortunate reality is that these costs must be passed on to our neighbors. For a five-year period, the City of Anna did not increase water and sewer rates at all, while the cost to provide water and sewer was increasing by 5-10% per year. In 2020, the utility fund had reached a point where it was losing money and becoming insolvent. The city's utility system was going bankrupt. The City Council made the very difficult decision in 2020 to increase water and sewer rates to bring revenues back in line with costs. The utility fund is not intended to be profitable, but it must cover our costs. At this time, a five-year rate plan was adopted, and we are reviewing that plan on an annual basis. In 2021, the initial review of the rate plan showed that we were going to need another increase of 8% on water rates and 10% on sewer rates to maintain the level of revenues that were required to offset our costs. However, the significant growth that we've experienced in the city allowed us to decrease those numbers to an even 8% across the board for both. For the average household in Anna, which uses about 5,000 gallons of water per month, our new utility rates will result in an increase of about $7.26 per month on the utility bill. With the new rates, Anna remains the cheapest of the four CGMA cities, which includes Anna, Melissa, Van Alstine, and Howe. The average water user of 5,000 gallons per month has a $14.40 cheaper bill here in Anna than it would be in our neighboring Melissa. We know that water and sewer rates are going to continue to increase each year. That is our reality. It is an unfortunate reality, but it's part of being in the fastest growing region of our country where water is a limited and precious resource. Our goal as a city is to make those increases as low as possible through continuing to streamline processes and managing our budgets in a fiscally conservative way. At this time, I will go ahead and turn it back over to our moderator so that we can get into some survey questions and take time to answer some of the questions that you all have tonight. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Greg. And a quick reminder, if you haven't done so already, or maybe you're just thinking of a question now, go ahead and submit those by pressing 0 right now on the keypad on your phone. Also, don't forget to press 7 to be added to the city's email to stay up to date with important information moving forward. Now, before we take our first question from Norris, let's go ahead and take our first poll question. So go ahead, everyone listening in right now, go ahead and get those keypads on your phones out and ready. As you may have noticed, our downtown Central Fire Station and City Hall building. Neighbors, when is the last time you visited downtown Anna? So we're generally describing the area along State Highway 5 between 455 White Street and Rosamond Parkway. So you can press 1 within the last 30 days, press 2 within the last 3 months, or you can press 3 within the last year, and finally, you can press 4 for never. So again, as you may have noticed, our downtown Anna is growing with the addition of our new Central Fire Station and City Hall building. So neighbors, when is the last time that you have visited downtown Anna? So pressing 1 within the last 30 days, press 2 for within the last 3 months. You can press 3 within the last year, or press 4 for never. And we will get to a few more survey questions as the night goes on. So go ahead, keep those keypads close and ready. So with that, I do want to go ahead and welcome Norris to the call here with his question. Norris, you are now live. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for holding an open forum for us to ask questions. As a new resident to Anna, having moved here in May, I understand that residents complain about the water quality, and I know that we purchased, and you mentioned that we purchased roughly 50% of our water from the North Texas Municipal Water District. Is the cost increase across the board, or is the cost increase just on a percentage of the total water that's brought in, or total 800%? And why are we not, why is the increase not on just the portion purchased?
Sure. No, that is a very good question. When we look at any rate increases, especially in our utility fund, we look at everything from not just the cost increases we expect from the water district, but also all of our costs for supplies, parts, materials, equipment, and maintenance. And so I know for many of you, you've seen the values of homes probably increase incredibly fast in our area. We are also paying significantly higher for water pipe, meters, valves, and all of the appurtenances that go with the water system, in addition to all of our maintenance supplies that we need for the sewer system as well. So when you take a look at it, we see an 8 to 10% increase from North Texas Municipal Water District almost on an annual basis, and that accounts for about 40 to 50% of our budget. Almost half our budget goes to just paying for purchased water. But the next largest aspect of our budget, which is about 20%, is all of the supplies, parts, and materials that we purchase to be able to go out and do the maintenance work we need. And so that's another area where we have significant cost increases. And those cost increases have actually exceeded 10%. Most of those cost increases we're seeing are up in the 15 to 20% range year over year, as the cost of steel and PVC pipe and those types of materials has gone up incredibly high. So you are correct that there is a specific component, obviously, that is North Texas, and that is something that we focus on because it has such a major component within our budget. But we also have to look at all of our supplies and materials and those other things as well. And we utilize all of those factors to develop a budget, and then that budget is then used to determine our rate structure. It's a great question. Thank you.
Yes, great question, Noren. So glad to have you on the line with us. Another reminder here before we get to our next question to press 0 to submit your question tonight. We'd love to hear from you. And again, you can also press 7 to be added to the city's email list to stay up to date with all this important information moving forward. So our next question here looks like coming from Maria, who would rather not go live tonight, and she's asking, how much will my bill go up in October?
So that's a great question. If she uses an average amount of water, which would be about 5,000 gallons, then her bill is going to go up about $7.26 is what we calculated. So it's going to be more than likely in that $5 to $8 range. If she is a large water user, for instance, if she has a large piece of property, maybe she has a lot of irrigation or even farm animals and things of that nature, like we do have in certain parts of our city, then she may see that increase be higher. So it will really be dependent upon your location of your property in regards to size. If you're on a more rural piece of property or a smaller lot, that has a major factor. But the best way to do it would be to look at your current bill, and then, you know, from that point you could go up about 8% is what you would be adding, and that would give you a good rough number. You know, if she has specific questions about her bill, I can tell you that our public works staff and our utility billing staff are always here to help. And so if she would like to ask some specific questions related to what her bill might look like come October, we'd be happy to help her, and she can just contact us directly at either department. We can help her with that. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Greg, and thank you for that question, Maria. Another question we have here from Laura, and she's asking, why does the water smell bad?
Well, there's a lot of factors that go into how water tastes and smells. Honestly, the biggest component are naturally occurring minerals. And so in Anna, we blend our water between the treated water that we purchase from the water district, which comes from Lake Levan primarily, but also some of that water comes from Lake Texoma. And then that is combined with our well water, which comes from the aquifers underground. And so the naturally occurring minerals in both the North Texas water and in our water in our well system are what cause primarily the taste and the smell that the water has. So it's the magnesium, it's the calcium, it's those other just naturally occurring minerals, which we do not treat for. Like most public water supplies in the state of Texas and across the country, we do not treat for what's called hardness. And so we do not remove those naturally occurring minerals from the water. And that gives it a certain unique flavor profile and smell profile. What I highly recommend for anyone who has a taste or a smell concern with the water is to utilize a carbon filter. That is the easiest and most common way to address that concern. If you have one already built into your refrigerator, or if you want to buy a simple Brita system or a company like that that makes a simple carbon filter, then you can run that water through that carbon system. What that will do is that will actually remove a portion of the naturally occurring minerals that are in the water, and that would result in less of a pronounced taste or smell that you may be experiencing. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much again. And taking a quick break here, we're going to go ahead and run another instant poll question. So everyone, go ahead, get those keypads out and ready again here. This fall, the city of Anna kicked off Neighbor Academy. an informative program on Anna's local government, which will serve as a cornerstone of citizen engagement here. So for those interested in attending Neighbor Academy in the future, what time is most accessible for you to attend? So go ahead, press 1 for once a week in the evening. You can press 2 for once a week during the day, or press 3 for once a month on a Saturday. Again, for those interested in attending Neighbor Academy in the future, what time is most accessible for you to attend? So pressing 1 for once a week in the evening, press 2 for once a week during the day, or you can press 3 for once a month on a Saturday. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take another question. A quick reminder, you can still get in line with your questions by pressing 0, and then you can also join our email list by pressing 7. So with that, I want to go ahead and welcome Jim in Avery Point. Jim, you are now live on the line. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. I have, actually have two questions. The first one is, last year when we went to the meeting, it was discussed possibly getting water from farther up north, like around the Sherman area, and getting together with a different kind of a group. Yeah, I was wondering if that was still in the process, or if that hasn't worked out. Or
sure. So, Jim, I appreciate you bringing that up, actually, because the that is a very important project that is still in the works. I did not mention it in my opening statement, but we are actively working with the other three cities in the CGMA to develop a plan to try to work with the city of Sherman to get water from them and bring it south. What that would take would be for the CGMA to construct a water main from Howe up to Sherman. So depending on where we make the connection, it's between 3 to 5 miles to make that connection point. And the CGMA is currently working on that with the Greater Texoma Utility Authority to develop a capital plan on what that would look like, and costing that out, and looking at what types of easements and construction costs we would be facing to get that done. So that is 100% still in the works. The idea behind that is that it would provide us not just cost control measures, because we could then have separate agreements with Sherman to purchase water, hopefully at competitive rates from them, but it would also provide us a secondary point to increase our water supply, so that as we continue to grow, we can continue to be able to fulfill all the needs of the community.
Go
ahead, Jim. It looked like you had one more question there.
Yes, I was just wondering why it is that we need to go through PayPal to pay our bills.
This is Alan Gard. I'm the finance director. I'm over utility billing. The city has a number of options for paying your bill. You can write a check and mail it in. We have a kiosk outside the building that you can drive up and pay with either a check, a credit card, or cash. We also have a couple of online options with Paycom and with eBill. Paycom is more of paying a single bill, whereas if you sign up with eBill, that's really more of taking care of your bill on a regular monthly basis. You sign up and have an account with eBill, and you will use that system each month. You could also set up that as an automatic payment. We also have ACH. You can go online and get a form from the utility billing section of our website, and you fill out that form and send it in with a voided check. And then your bill is automatically paid on the due date every month. So there are a number of options for paying your bill.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Alan, for chiming in here. Jim, so glad that we got you connected tonight as well. Another question here coming in from Rod in the Historical District. Rod, you are now live. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you. I was wondering, with the new pumps that are going to be installed, Would that help any with the quality of water for the supply and maybe lack of, and then maybe reduced sediment?
So that's a good question. I do not anticipate that it's going to have a major impact on the water quality and the sediment. But what I will say is that, you know, it will be another take point, and so we will be restructuring some of our pumping across the city as that station is going to be much larger and going to be producing a lot more water. So there could be residual effects. That's not one of the goals of the project. The main goal is to increase water supply. But I honestly can't tell you for sure if it is going to improve that situation. As you mentioned, we do have a relatively high level of naturally occurring minerals in our water that does tend to form over time and, you know, create some of the crystallization that can be seen on faucets and things like that. Usually that's a calcium and magnesium buildup. So we do have what's considered relatively hard water that does have a lot of calcium and magnesium in it. Because these wells are going to be tapping into the same aquifers that we're tapping into across the city, I do expect that water to be very similar in chemistry. So I don't think that we're going to see a big change there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rod. Great question. Another quick service announcement here. On Tuesday, October 6th, join neighbors throughout Anna as we celebrate National Night Out with block parties and community gatherings. National Night Out is an annual community building campaign that promotes police community partnerships and neighborhood camaraderie to make our neighborhoods safer, more caring places to live. National Night Out enhances the relationship between neighbors and law enforcement while bringing back a true sense of community. So please reach out to our Neighborhood Services Department or your Homeowners Association for more information. And before we take another question here, we do have another poll. So I want to go ahead and have everyone get their keypads out and ready again. Which social media platform do you most often use? So go ahead, press 1 for Facebook, press 2 for Nextdoor. You can press 3 for Twitter, press 4 for Instagram, or press 5 if you are not on social media. So again, just taking another quick poll question, which social media platform do you use most often? Pressing 1 for Facebook, pressing 2 for Nextdoor, press 3 for Twitter, press 4 for Instagram, or you can press 5 if you are not on social media. So our next question here is coming from Michael. Before we take Michael's question, another quick reminder, you can still press 0 to get your question in line tonight, and you can still press 7 to be added to the city's email list. So with that, our next question here from Michael. He's asking, where does all the money I pay and my bill go?
So, Michael, that's a really good question, and I actually have a breakdown because I'm literally sitting here with our budget right here in front of me. So I can tell you our budget for the utility fund is broken down this way. It's 40% roughly goes to North Texas Municipal Water District and the Greater Texoma Utility Authority to pay for purchased drinking water. About 20% of our budget goes towards supplies, parts, materials, and equipment that we need to provide maintenance on the system. 17% goes for debt service. So that funds some of the major construction projects in the past on the utility system, including the debt service on the GTUA line that comes up from McKinney. 14% pays for staffing. So that's for staff and all of their protective gear and things of that nature. 5% is for the electricity and gas that it takes to operate the facilities. And about 4% encompasses a lot of different things, but it's mainly dues that we have to pay, TCQ and other fees, licenses for our staff to maintain licensure, and fuel for our vehicles and some of those smaller items like that. So that's a good general breakdown of how our budget looks and what our expenses are.
Great. Thank you so much for that breakdown, Greg. And thank you for that question, Michael. Looks like we have another question coming in from Mike in Annatown Square. Mike, you are now live. Go ahead.
Yes, I've lived in a number of different cities. They have a flat rate sewer fee based on average winter usage. When we use more water in the summer, my sewer goes up, even though I'm not using more sewer. Is there any idea that we can change that perhaps in the future to be a flat rate?
Thanks for your question, Mike. So what you're talking about is a very common method of doing sewer billing across a lot of cities in our region. There are a lot of cities that do what they call winter averaging. And so what they do is you take the winter season, which is in theory when folks are not utilizing their irrigation systems, and you throw out the highest month, you throw out the lowest month, you take the three remaining and you average them, and then that would be the flow, that water flow, assuming that's basically only going into sewer since you're not using irrigation, would be the flow that you're charged on a monthly basis. So you'd have the same sewer charge each month. As you point out here in Anna, we actually don't do that. We have more of an active sewer charge, which is based on the water use each month. And so there are two different ways of doing it. I'll tell you that the way that we do it currently in Anna is the way that it's been done for a very long time here. Honestly, that's probably the main reason that it's that way. We do have a 14,000-gallon cap on that. So for high water users, we recognize that at some point there is a cap there, so we do cap it off. What we would need to do, and this is something that we have talked about in the past, but we have not done, but it's something that we could very well do in the future, would be to restructure our billing to go towards a winter averaging system. Now, what I will tell you is, just like many things in life, the fee, the overall revenues that we have to take in have to at least match the costs, the costs we have going out. So restructuring that would result in obviously winners and losers. And what I mean by that is that you'd have a different method of determining the rate on the sewer side, so that rate would change. And depending on your specific situation, that could potentially decrease your bill some, or it could potentially increase your bill some. So it would not change the amount of revenues that would be required to fund the utility, but it would be a different method that could provide a potentially a lower bill or a higher bill depending on your specific situation. Like I said, it's something that we've talked about in the past. I think that it's probably going to continue to come up as a topic of discussion, and if we are directed to, that is something that we could certainly pursue in the future. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mike. Glad to have you on the line with us. Next up here, we have a question coming in from Ryan, who would rather not go live tonight. Ryan's in West Crossing, and he's asking, what additional measures can be taken to improve water quality given the natural occurring minerals in Texas and what all you have mentioned?
Thanks, Ryan. It's a good question, and this is actually a question that I've been asked by some of our council members, and as well, because they obviously, as our elected officials, they have their ear to the ground in our community, and they hear the concerns regarding taste and odor of our drinking water. And so we've actually looked into some different options. The reality is that because of the volume of water that we are bringing in and then sending out into our system, it becomes very difficult to have a specialized treatment system that would treat it at a point source, so in one large location. The primary way that those types of minerals are removed is through reverse osmosis, and so implementing a reverse osmosis system in Anna right now, we actually priced this out would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 to $65 million. That's based on costs from earlier this year. That would be the type of investment that would need to be made to implement that today. And as fast as we're growing, that would also need to probably have additional funding so that it can increase in size with future phases as we have more and more water going through the system. So our concern with doing something like that obviously would be a $50 to $60 million investment would be a huge price tag to put on neighbors. And so we don't do that, and we're not recommending that from a staff level simply because it's cost prohibitive. However, individual folks can, if they choose to, install smaller systems at their home, which are much more cost effective and easier to install and maintain. You know, staff is not recommending that. That's not something that we feel is necessary. But there are folks in our community who have made that decision to install an RO system or a water softening system to remove some of those minerals. I cannot recommend a specific one, but that is something that you could do your own research on if you would be interested in and take a look at. Again, I would not recommend it because it is not necessary, but if it's something that you would like to have, it's certainly out there and available. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and great question, Ryan. Appreciate you submitting that tonight. Next up, we do have one last poll question we'd love to get your feedback on. So, neighbors, we are so glad, again, that you can join us tonight, and we do want to ask you quickly about our communications. We want to know, how did you hear about this telephone town hall? So press 1 for an e-newsletter, press 2 for a phone call, press 3 for social media, or press 4 for word of mouth. So again, how did you hear about this telephone town hall? Press 1 for e-newsletter, press 2 for a call, press 3 for social media, or you can press 4 for word of mouth. And appreciate everyone's feedback on all of these polls that we've ran. Thank you all so much. Our next question here is coming in from Elizabeth, and she's asking, I moved here from Salina. Why does the water taste different?
So that's actually a really good question. I know that there are a lot of folks moving to Anna from different parts of the Metroplex and possibly even different parts of the country. So I think this is a question that's very relevant for many of our neighbors. The main difference between Salina and Anna when it comes to drinking water is source. And so we purchase a lot of our drinking water from the water district, and that water is coming primarily from Lake Levan, whereas Salina also has a mix of wells and purchased water, but they're purchasing water from the Upper Trinity, Trinity River Authority, I believe, and that water that they take in there comes from obviously different lakes, and not from Lake Levan. And as you know, if you head from east to west across the Metroplex, the geography does actually change. The minerals in the ground do change, and so they have a different mineral profile there, and that translates into having a different level of level of minerals in the water and types of minerals in the water, and so you will notice a different taste. In similar fashion, you would notice a different taste in the city of Dallas. The city of Dallas has their own drinking water that they bring in from Lake Levan. I mean from Lake Ray Hubbard. And so they have a different taste also from North Texas Municipal Water District water. So it is something that you will notice across the Metroplex. Water in different locations tastes different, and that's usually due to the source, whether it's from lakes or wells and the geology that's in that area. Thank you.
Thank you again so much, Greg. And also just a last reminder here, go ahead and press 7. If you haven't done so already, so that you can be added to the city's email list to stay up to date with important information moving forward. So again, if you haven't pressed 7 yet to be added to that email list, go ahead and press 7 now. And with that, we are going to continue on with your questions. We have another question coming in from Michelle, and she's asking, what measures does the city take to protect the safety and quality of the water?
That's a really good question, Michelle. So The main thing that we do is we ensure that we are following all of the state and federal drinking water requirements. So the EPA at the federal level and the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality at the state level, TCEQ, set drinking water standards. And those standards are set for all public drinking water systems in the state of Texas. And what we do is we make sure that we meet those requirements day in and day out. We go out and we take samples. We send those samples off for testing. We test for a wide range of potential contaminants to make sure that they're not in our system. So we test for any bacteriological growth. We test for, obviously, minerals and things of that nature. We test for chlorine, chloramines, nitrates, basically everything that the state of Texas would require us to ensure is either in or not in our drinking water, we're testing that on a regular basis. And we have several staff members who hold high-level water licenses with the state of Texas, and those folks are doing that sampling and testing every single day. And we are required by the state to notify everyone who could be affected if we have a sample that indicates a problem. And so that's one thing that we take very seriously, and we respond very quickly if that happens. And luckily, those situations are extremely rare here in Anna. And so we're very proud of the fact that we meet all the TCEQ requirements and exceed those requirements in almost all situations. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And another question here coming in from Paul. He's asking, I recently heard from a neighbor that the city may be introducing a stormwater fee. What exactly is that?
Thanks, Paul. It's a good question. It is something that we are actively discussing right now. And a stormwater fee is something that if you've lived in a lot of other communities in North Texas, you may be used to this. This may be something that you've already seen and know about. But if you've lived in Anna for a long time, you may have never heard of it before. And basically what this is a way for us to handle all of the drainage and stormwater concerns within the community that occur in public places. And so what we're talking about creeks and streams and the public drainage systems, so storm pipes and things like that. We have a lot of different creeks and tributaries that run through our community, and as such, there are natural events that occur where those areas flood, and we have soil loss and erosion. We can also have just damage that's caused to infrastructure in flood-prone areas. We have areas of flooding that might not flood if certain things were done and infrastructure was put in place. And so what a stormwater utility does is it creates a stormwater utility just like you have a water and sewer utility, just like you have a street department, you can have a stormwater division. And that group would then handle those issues. Currently in Anna, we do not have defined funding for stormwater needs. We do our best with our street division to try to address neighbor concerns and go out and do some small maintenance projects. But it is a significant need in the community, especially along the creeks and streams that we have where erosion is taking place, adjacent to neighborhoods where there could be flood damage and major problems. And so the idea behind this would be to have a very small flat fee that would be paid on a basis of impervious area. An impervious area is the pavement or building or structure on the ground that prevents water from soaking in. And so the more impervious area you have, the more impact you have on causing runoff of stormwater downstream into creeks, the more flooding that you're causing in theory. And so what we're looking at doing is implementing a program whereby your major contributors, like Walmart, for instance, has a large, very large building and a large parking lot. would pay a relatively significant amount towards the development of a stormwater utility. And neighbors who, you know, you have a house on a residential lot, would pay a very small fee to contribute towards that utility. So it's something that we're discussing. You will see in the next few postings of the newspaper, we are posting a draft ordinance. And if you would like to hear more about it and be part of that discussion, council will be considering this item at the November 9th City Council meeting. And we welcome you to attend and give your feedback. I know that there have been a lot of neighbors that I've spoken with in our community who have had drainage problems, not necessarily on their property, but in front of their property or adjacent to their property, and those problems are impacting their property. And so we do everything we can to try to address those, and this is a way for us to properly address those with real funding for real projects to improve the quality of life for those who live along those flood-prone areas and drainage ways. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Greg and Paul. Thanks again for submitting that question. Great question. Next up here we have Tom, who again would just rather not go live. Tom is asking, I have a broken sprinkler head next to the sidewalk, and he's wondering, will the city repair it?
So that's a question that we actually get fairly often, especially from a new homeowner who may not know if that sprinkler head is even theirs. If you've just moved into your home and you haven't messed with your irrigation system, you may not know if that busted sprinkler head is yours or not. Generally speaking, it is the responsibility of the property owner to maintain and repair all irrigation systems in their yard and then up to the back of the curb. Now, what I will say is that if our staff have been doing work in that area and there's potential that we had any impact on your irrigation system, please give us a call and give us the opportunity to go out and check it out. Because when we do sidewalk replacement projects or paving projects to replace portions of streets, it is not uncommon for us to have to dig up and remove and replace portions of irrigation systems that are along the road or along the sidewalk. And so because some of those sprinkler heads are relatively small, it's possible that we hit one and we missed it. And we'd love to have the opportunity to come out and check that. And if it is our responsibility, we will make it right and we will make that repair right away. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom, for that question. And Greg, thank you so much for answering all these questions tonight. Neighbors, it does look like we have, however, reached our allotted time that we had tonight, and we've received some great feedback from our instant polls, and we did answer as many questions as we could. However, if you still had any questions, we do encourage you to stay on until the very end of the call to leave us a voicemail message. So simply follow the prompts there. We just ask that you leave us your name and your best contact so that we do have a fighting chance of reaching back out to you. And with that, we do sincerely value and appreciate your time. So with that, I'll ask Public Works Director Greg Peters to please bring us to the finish line.
Thank you, Taylor. I just want to tell everyone in Anna, it's such an exciting time here. We're so happy to be here and to serve you each and every day as your city, and we just want you to know that we care about you, we care about this community just as much as you do, and we want to make Anna the best that we can. And so any opportunity that we have to work with you to better our community, we want to take advantage of that. And so I really, really am thankful for each and every one of you who took time out of your day to join us on this call tonight, and especially those that ask questions, because you know, any opportunity that we have to talk with you and make sure that we're having good communication with you, that's a really important part of our job. So, again, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to growing with you as this community develops. Thank you.